Hi, podcasters. This is Brooke. I'm your art barista at Let's Talk Art. Today, engineer by day, sculptor by night, Marta Dominguez returns all the way from Spain. Marta does these amazing cow sculptures, which she calls her alter ego cows. We talk drawing people versus drawing animals. We talk art markets. We talk AI. We really do cover it all. Enjoy! I've never been smart with investments or stocks, but one thing I've learned over the years is that an investment in knowledge pays the best interest. If you want to get smart with your money, you can trade smarter and maximize your returns with Trade with UFOs. Trade with UFOs is a brand that represents a community of users trading with predictive tools. You don't have to be good with stocks. They literally hold your hand while you trade, teaching you everything you need to know. You see, Trade with UFOs is also a portal which provides access to predictive apps, courses, and coaching, all to show you how to make money using unfilled orders. Why am I so passionate about this? Because then we'll all have more money in our pockets to buy more art. It's time to get smart with your money. Leverage your success with Trade with UFOs. Go to tradewithufos.com and use my offer code Brooke for a 50% off discount on all of their products. That's B-R-O-O-K-E.
Hi, hello.
Great to see you. How are you doing?
Good to see you too. So how are things?
On that side of the world. Things are good. Things are good. How about you?
I'm fine. Actually, quite busy. Quite busy. I'm answering your call now from my office. So this is part of my engineering role.
Okay.
But it's nice that I stop for a moment and I leave all the technology trends for a while and cool. I talk a little bit about art, my favorite topic, as you know.
So I'm talking to Dr. Marta, the engineer.
I'm not a doctor.
Okay, I thought you were studying for a PhD last we talked.
Yeah, but I haven't finished it yet. So okay. Once I delivered it, I can use the doctor time, sure. But not before I finish. I'm not sure how much longer I will need to finish it.
You said you're not sure how much longer you'll need?
Yeah.
Okay. So how's it going?
It's going fine, and actually I got busy also at the art site, and these days with all this artificial intelligence, I think nobody can at least try to not to think about artificial intelligence these days. So with all this stuff going on, sometimes for me thinking of putting that aside and thinking of what's my next work of art gonna be, is kind of a relief sometimes. I don't know if you feel the same. Letting all the business stuff aside and relax about other topics like art. I was listening actually to one of your latest podcast episodes.
Okay, cool.
And I realized that there is a kind of a voice in art that is quite how would I put it? In a sense not politically correct. But they have very strong opinions about artists and the art market and so on forth. In my view, I'm not that much into the art market as kind of having very pricey artworks.
Right.
So what I consider as pricey is something above, $5,000 or whatever, $10,000. I'm not in that in that area. I love doing art, and I love also people enjoying the art. So it's a different kind of relationship, I think, between artists and people and collectors having my art to enjoy. So it's a different thing of art as a kind of trade in the sense of bitcoins, for instance, or any other stock that you can trade in and things like that.
So yeah, that's I think that's I think that that's a tough line to negotiate, just kind of the line between enjoyment and wanting to be able to price it so people who will enjoy it can afford it,
Yeah.
need to make some money, and just I mean, I don't know. It's just because the art market is I won't even pretend to understand it.
Yeah.
But it's
I think it's a bit crazy. And one of the things that I was thinking about is I mean, yeah, the fact that the art market, I mean, people or artists living from art isn't such a new thing, because actually all of the artists I follow, I mean the classic ones, they were either poor or couldn't live on their art unless they have a kind of someone, a big head supporting them.
That's what
So, and you look at the 19th and 20th century, it's about the same. So what we consider today, people who were artistically good in terms of how they perform their artistry and so on forth, were not really that well known at the time. So I mean, that's not something I worry much about myself. I mean, I think I told you already once, I need to do the art I do because it's part of my
you.
being, of my communication, on the way I express my feelings to the world. So sometimes I feel like this is like being a priest, that you have to perform the mass no matter how many people you have in front of you. So sometimes this is like that. What is I think it's also interesting is that I mean, from the moment I decided to let that art also be known more broadly by the people, not only here in Spain but also abroad, I discovered that there is a kind of natural enjoyment in the art I do, so people feel attracted to it. So, I mean, for me, it was kind of a natural thing to let other people buy their art. I mean, if I can make them feel more natural about art, I mean, it's fine with me. And that's also kind of a new thing that I discovered these last 2 years since I decided to let this artistic side of me to go public. Because before that, I mean, it was public also. I never kind of had a cloth around me.
It was hidden.
Yeah, but somehow, I mean, I made it public in a more kind of notorious way than before. And but I keeping it quiet as well. I mean, one thing I during these 2 years that I've been using, for instance, Instagram and other applications, is that there is kind of a second art market of people just selling marketing services to other people. And actually, they are artists selling marketing services to other artists. So it's kind of a secondary art market, very interesting as well. But sometimes it feels a bit strange because I don't know how much of that is really getting to it's helping the artist to get to real customers. So for me, this year that I managed to do good selling to real customers, I mean, for me, it's much more interesting to see how the customers, for instance, are then using that piece of art to decorate part of their houses. They send me pictures
Cool.
about how the art could look like. Rather than saying, okay, this is my art, and then this is what you should understand about either how to frame it or how to use it, all these kind of things. So
Yeah.
this kind of be also learning a learning path for me also to reach new customers and make this artistic path of mine be more known and broadly understood also, but by customers rather than just people that like to be called art collectors. For
Yeah.
me, I was much more interested to see how they are getting real customers. I
Yeah.
mean, real people feeling and enjoying art. For instance, like yourself, I'm seeing quite nice prints just behind your wall.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is part of enjoying, understanding art, and being a supported of artists. So you don't need to be, I think, a big person, investing a lot of money, in order to appreciate art. And that's
Absolutely.
the part of artistic enjoyment that I want to pursue further.
Absolutely. No, I absolutely agree. I don't think you need a lot of money to enjoy art, and that's part of the reason I like it. You can get galleries and museums are pretty much free.
Yeah, that's right.
And there's art all around the world. I mean, there's art in nature, there's art in I mean there's murals, and there's I mean like my street is basically turned into a gallery because it's there's just a lot of murals.
Yeah.
So I mean there's art everywhere that you can appreciate art without any money for sure.
Yeah.
But I
But on the other side, I mean, I understand that if you are an artist and you need at least to cover the costs of what you are doing.
right.
Otherwise, it doesn't make sense.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because this
And
material
I
is
understand that part. And I actually do my own business around, okay, at least keeping the costs that I have of all the materials, of the time and things that I use. For instance, if I have travel expenses or whatever. And then make it easy for people to reach that art.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So I loved that picture of the cow that you sent me. It looks
Yeah,
so,
it's a big one.
it's big, and it looks different than the other ones. It looks more textural. It looks more real.
Yeah, I think it's because of the size. So the material is the same. I work with simple materials. I do my own pastry made of recycled newspapers. So that doesn't change. But just because of the size, I think you can appreciate much more fully all the details. And yeah, I have work of arts that are smaller, but I wanted to have that picture of me and the artwork so
Yeah,
you can see, I
on
mean,
the
the
side.
relationship
Yeah, absolutely.
between them. Yeah, because then I take pictures, and one other format that I'm using lately is taking photographs of the finished artwork and see the different meanings of that artwork. And this is very interesting also because I mean, like any photographer, you can see through different point of views different things in the art piece. And just because the artworks look so live, so full of life, I can get that final that final outcome on a print. So I'm enjoying it very much. One of the most common feedback that I get from real customers of my artwork is that they like how they feel like they are alive,
Mm-hmm.
like it's real nature, like it's a piece of something full of life, like a blossom flower that you have the moment that you put it in your at your home. So that's something I like to play with, and that's something that so for instance, even if you see that this piece of artwork that I sent to you is textual, that it feels alive, I mean, the level of detail compared to a really 100% figurative artist is very low.
Yeah.
And that's the tricky part of it. I mean, just with the minimum part of details, try to convey something that is alive.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also something that is different from other cows. Because, yeah, people will say, well, how is it that not all the cows that you make, Marta, are the same? How is it that they don't look the same? I mean, because they tell me, well, when I go to the countryside and then I go and just watch or have the occasion to just bump into one of these big cows in the
Yeah.
countryside, I mean, they all look the same to me. Are you able to recognize that they are different? I say, well, I'm able to recognize that they are different.
Yeah.
And that's why, I mean, it's the same with people. Not all people reflect in their faces the same feelings. So this is what I try to capture also with the different cows. And this is something that I discovered when I was a little girl. Actually, not with cows, but with goats.
With goats.
And yeah, while all the children were kind of getting frantic and really annoyed with wild cows, the goats. I mean, with the ones that even if you are not careful, I mean, they can come to you with the big horns and all this stuff. So one of the things that was very, I mean, it was kind of different from the rest of the children is that whilst the rest of the children were parting away from the wild goat, I was getting close.
Yeah.
And I kind of, I mean, the wild animal kind of zoo, their fury or whatever. And I was able to just look at the animal and try to see what was there. So I was a little girl and at the time, probably I won't do it again now, but I don't have any problem with cows. I mean, they are my friends.
You
So
said
I can get as close as I can get as close to them as I want, even if they are wild in the country, and I enjoy letting them get to me and see how they perform, and then I take notes, mental notes, because not all the time that I'm in the countryside I have a block or a pencil, so most of the times I take mental notes. Sometimes I have my smartphone and I take some pictures. Not many pictures, because the moment you take a machine with you, I mean, the animal will notice. And then try to, yeah, they try to back themselves. And so the expression is different. So this they change the expression completely. So most of the times it's just me with my models. I try to take mental notes. And then those mental notes, I will perform with my hands on the sculpture film.
Cool. That's awesome. I love that. I was so cat wild cows are pretty docile.
Yeah, I think so.
Because we were in England one time when I was 14, and they have wild horses running around, and I reached out to pet it and it bit me. So I was that's my memory of England.
Actually, I mean, yeah, you have to know, for instance, I mean, it's a bit like with humans. If you have to know, for instance, that you cannot get to a cow when it's pregnant or when it's a little calf,
They'll kick you.
yeah, because they will come after you.
Yeah.
So you have to know that in advance. I mean, it's been many years, so I know in advance when I can get close to them and when I can't. But most of the times, I mean, they are kind of at rest with me. So they just let it go, and it's good for me. But sometimes I feel like, that a lady that was able to be among orangutans and gorillas, just playing themselves, so she could figure out how they would act and really see how they perform and things like that. So sometimes it's like that, but I'm not that much crazy about animals. I mean, it's just because of this interest I have in revealing their soul and using it as an expressive form in art. Otherwise, probably I could go with lizards and other kind of animals.
They're not
But cows,
the
cows are the animals that I feel more attached to, at least at the moment.
Well, that was something I was listening to our last podcast, and that was something that you had been talking about when I'd asked what was next for you. You were like, I want to find more expressions, more cow expressions to be able to paint. And it sounds like you've succeeded with that.
Yeah, that's right. It's kind of it's kind of a bit of a finding to me, because I wasn't sure when I started this cow thing how long it will last till the film of cows was exhausted. I mean, like with any other theme, I think there is one moment when the artists feel that everything that could be said about that topic
Has
is
been
kind
full.
of full already, and for the moment she or he has to stop and go on to another topic. For the cows, apparently the inspiration is still read there, and I can still read different things from their emotions. I don't know for how long also. So with this topic, along with the topic of when I will finish my PhD, is a question of I don't know when. I don't know when.
All of your cows look very different, so I think it'll be a while before you exhaust that.
Well, for the moment, as I say, it's like I don't have a problem just trying to think of the next expression. So I don't have this kind of white paper blocking issue. Not at the moment. I'm not saying that it will happen, but I don't have it at the moment.
Exactly. And there doesn't need to be a timeline.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, sure.
So, and I was looking at your people drawings again, and they reminded me of Modigliani in the last podcast, but I was thinking today, after not seeing them for a while, I was thinking they looked like Matisse's elongated people. Are you familiar with that?
Actually, they're much more influenced by I say it Giacometti,
Okay.
in the sense that they are elongated forms
Yeah.
with little detail, but unlike Giacometti's figures, I have more kind of a figurative than abstract details on it. And they have a few, of I mean that you probably seen through my web page or through Instagram. So they are females and also males. But somehow you see, it's been more than I think 5 years since I did the last one, the last human figure in the sculpture. I started actually with human figures, and then I moved into animals. I don't know why, actually. Oh, this is strange. I never thought of that. But this is strange.
That is funny. Well, I've gotten into. Have you heard of? She's a Venezuelan sculptor named Marisol Escobar. She is fabulous. She was popular in the 60s, 70s. She was popular with Andy Warhol.
Yeah.
She was with his crowd. You should check her out because she does these great. She actually reminded me of you. She like just heard the way her sculptures are just different. There's
Yeah.
your sculptures are very different from each other's, but they're both different from everything else. So that's.
Yeah. I think I don't know if I told you that already, but when I started the human figures, and I was showing them around to people, they would say, "Well, they're fine. I mean, in terms of the technique that you use, they are perfect. I mean, everything that an art professor will evaluate you on, I mean, they are perfect." But somehow they were saying, "Okay, but I mean, they are like anything else." So I'm thinking that that's probably just why I turn into animals. I try to make a different thing from animals. So yeah, it's true. Yeah, I'm trying to think, and actually, this is one of my goals to go into something different from what's already there. And one of the reasons behind that is, I don't know if you have the same feeling, but when I go through my Instagram account, of course, the algorithm makes everything related to art go into my timeline. And so there is a lot of figurative art, abstract art, because I'm very also curious about different techniques. So, I mean, all the art is there. Different techniques, different materials, different styles, but somehow it all feels like very repetitive. So, I mean, there is much wave of people doing abstract with kind of red and complementary colors or very bright. And on the other side, there are people doing non-abstract, so kind of photograph quality figurative painting, which is something I really don't feel very related to. And so in between, there is, I think, a lot of space for artists to express in different way. I mean, I love photographs and I love good photographers. And I do like good photographers because they are able to add a new way of seeing onto a topic. What I don't like from, I mean, very realistic painting is that if you have a picture, if you have a photograph, what's the point of replicating it with a painting? One of the things I enjoyed about painting when I was a little girl was to try to give that point of view, that specific way of seeing things that a photographer was able to do into a painting. So doing my own interpretation. So, but not copying directly from what you see, because if you just copy directly without adding any point of view or stressing, for instance, the light of the contrast between the edges of the foam, what's the point? I mean, yeah, this is something that doesn't relate to me. So,
You want to do something different. That makes sense. That makes sense. Something original. So that is really cool. So tell me, like, we were going to talk about you being an engineer on the next podcast. So tell me how. So tell me how that how you think being an engineer plays into your art.
Well, at the moment, I think not very much, and I'll tell you why. There are artists that are also engineers, and I'm using the part of that technology gives you as a tool, for instance, now with artificial intelligence, to somehow blend the art with the technology and produce new art. And there are a number of engineers that are doing so, and they are being successful. But I am part of the engineers that do like the engineering side, and they do like their artist side. I have one of these idols of mine, which is an engineer and which is a musician himself, which is very well known in the technology. Probably you heard of it because he also wrote some books about technology, and he's actually a technology activist, which is Yaron Lanier. You have to check it out. This guy, I mean, he's been involved with all the different breakthroughs of technologies since the last or for the last 30 years. But on the other side, he's a musician. So he likes to play their music, his own music. And it's like one of the things I like about this guy and all the engineers that also try to I mean, not to combine, but to keep and balance the human, more human artistic side with the more machine technology side, is that they use the art in order to remember themselves that the technology they do has to be kept as friendly to humans as possible. With artificial intelligence, that means that no artificial intelligence should harm or make humans a worst thing. I mean, not just because you are a human, it means that you should be confronted into technology. And this human side, adding this human side, this ethic side of technology is being performed just because they give their attachment to the more kind of natural related to humans artistic side. So he's a musician, and his art helps him to keep awake on all the new breakthroughs that he's actually involved with, because he's been working with Microsoft. He's been chief executive engineer at Microsoft. He's using that in order to remind us all, okay, yes, but we shouldn't be all that happy or all that afraid of technology. I mean, there should be some ethics about keeping what humans are preserve and not having technology attacking what a human should be. So, and there are a lot of engineers that I know actually that follow that path. And actually, that's the path I'm trying to follow. So to put it short, for me, art, and I think for Yaron Lanier as well, is a way to remember ourselves that we have some innate and nature abilities just because we are humans. And even if technology can try to mimic the sentiments, the feelings of people, I mean, no better than humans, we are the ones that are able to understand others and to feel what others are feeling. So even if we, and actually right now, artificial intelligence is getting very, very advanced in terms of mimicking what other person is trying to feel. So you listen to the latest breakthrough by the company OpenAI. I mean, you listen to the voice of artificial intelligence, the new assistant they have, and it's like, okay, I want to be a friend of that machine because she sounds so such a lovely person to meet. But in reality, it's a person. It's not a person. I mean, it's a machine. So I mean, it's good to have something that reminds us that we have skills which are so beautiful to keep. so beautiful to breathe and make it better and remind all the people that we are the best at doing caring for others, being sentient about others. Even if nowadays with the war and all that stuff, it looks like we are forgetting sometimes that we, as a humankind, should be sentient about other people and not machines. I mean, we are ordering, this is a very strange thing, but we are ordering machines to be sentient to people just because we people somehow are so kind of wrenched that we are not able to be or to have feelings and understanding for people who are different from us. And art, I think, is a way to remember us, okay, that even if we, I mean, we are better off with technology, that's for sure. I mean, we are communicating, you and me, right now from Spain onto the United States, just because we're using technology. So that's the good part of techno-activism, I think. But on the other side, I mean, for instance, what's the point of now, instead of just the two of us sharing our ideas about art or how we feel about art, having an artificial intelligence providing us the answers? I mean, yeah, because in the end, it's like, yeah, I prefer, at least, this is my opinion, I prefer if I have the opportunity to talk to you, Brooke, that we share those ideas rather than, okay, I will just ask an artificial intelligence agent who knows a lot about art, what's their opinion, or whether they can, she or he can share ideas about whatever. Because in the end, it's like, yeah, of course, I can go onto the Wikipedia as well and look for all that has been written and discuss, or to Quora. I like Quora as well, a source of information. And I can just go there and see what are the topics that other artists are discussing and so forth. But even in Quora, I like Quora actually because there are real people behind that. So there is someone with a name. Actually, I only care about the ones with a real name, not an alias. There are people with a real name that you can see the track record of the different answers or questions that they were doing before. And I enjoy that. I mean, and sometimes I like to keep track of the answers of some of them. So it's like when like meeting with you. I mean, I mean, this kind of human interaction is something that artificial intelligence is trying to mimic. I'm not saying that is bad for everything, because, for instance, you have people with, for instance, eye disabilities. I like to have a tool that helps me through go through my path. Once in the street, so that I don't fall out. So I mean, having a computer vision attached to my smartphone application, I mean, it's not only something that is a great breakthrough, but it's something that we should all be proud of. I mean, as humankind, to be having people with disabilities be able to perform their lives in a better way. But yeah, there are other things, like, I mean, chatting to a friend that I think you shouldn't be having. I can give you an example. There is kind of a joke, a technology joke those days, which is actually not a joke, it's real, of that we have reached the point where we have machines discussing with machines. So if you are in a human resource department, there are applications already that are reading the resumes for you.
Wow.
So there is a chance that if you are applying for a job, it's not a real person who is deciding whether you are good
Oh.
or suited for the position, but it's
Yeah.
just software. So it's software decided before you even have a chance to get into talking to someone.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And with customer care, it's the same. So instead of having a person talking to a real customer and understanding, I mean, what the customer being the focus of a company means, you
Right.
have what? You have a machine
Yeah.
talking to you. So the funny thing, and that's what the joke goes, is that the customers and the future employees have now the same applications. So they have their own artificial intelligence applications. So it's not a customer talking to a machine, but the artificial intelligence application of the customer who is talking to the artificial intelligence of the customer care from the company, or
Wow.
the future to be employee who is using artificial intelligence to write their resume, and then the
Thank you so much to Marta Dominguez for chatting with me again. And thank you to you for listening. This was a blast. If you want to see more of Marta, check out her Instagram at Una Ingeniera Chiascope. It will be linked on the page. If you're finding value in these episodes, please like, share, or consider sponsoring my Patreon account, which is also linked on the site. Thanks for listening. This is a Hotspur Media production, music by Corey Knoxville.